Blog Talk Radio.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
The mighty things that he has done. We would like to once again to welcome you to the Breakthrough Broadcast. We are broadcasting live from the Bowling beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We are excited about what God has done throughout the week. We are excited about what God is about to do through his word. For the word of God say his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And that word have we hid in our heart that we will not sin against thee. So today on the Breakthrough broadcast, we want you to call a neighbor, call a friend. Let them know that the Breakthrough broadcast is back on the air. So we're going to be discussing today living the grace life. And our panel will be for the day. We have Ms. Helen Watson. Also, we have with us Pastor Lewis Malone. And Pastor Lewis Malone, he will be speaking from 1 Timothy, the first chapter, 12 through the 18th verse, which will include live in God's grace. And then Ms. Helen Ahubu is going to begin our discussion with give, live by sound doctrine. Again, live by sound doctrine. And then I'm going to come in and I'm going to talk about use the law lawfully. And so what we want to do today, if you don't have your Bible and you would like to go get it, why don't you do that? Because we're going to be teaching from the First Timothy of that first chapter. And we want God to endue you with power from on high, to give, to enlighten you, to give you revelation, to give you understanding of his word. So we're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, and we want to invite you to come and go with us. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, dear God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. Lord God, we thank you, God, that you are the Alpha and Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the first. You are the last. You are the true and the living God. We thank you today because you have all power in your hand. We thank you today, God, because you're able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. We thank you today, God, for the grace of you that passes our understanding. We thank you, God, for by grace, God, you saved us, Lord God, and we just thank you for that. And we ask you, God, even as we pray, God, to look upon those, Lord God, that's in our audience. God, we can't see them, but, Lord, you know exactly where they are, whether they're sitting in their home, God, whether they're listening at a neighbor's home or house, or whether they're in their car or whatever they may be. Father, we ask thee, Lord God, to look upon them, to bless them, to meet every need, God, even now. And for this, we will bless and praise your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Today's topic again is living the grace life. Our key verse today is the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundantly with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that is the King James Version. And then we look over at our central truth. It would be sound doctrine is the foundation for living a balanced Christian life. Sound doctrine. And we must have sound doctrine. We must have the word of God. We must have the truth in order to have a balanced Christian life. So we want you to know today that you're in for a blessing, and God is going to enlighten you and give you what you need this very day. So let's get ready to go to Miss Helen Watson as she comes to us with Live by Sound Doctrine. And she's going to be coming from 1 Timothy, 1 chapter 3 to the 7th verse, that 19th and that 20th verse. Miss Helen Watson.
I'm going to be coming from 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, the 3rd through the 7th verse, and then the 19th and the 20th verse. And it's Live by Sound Doctrine is the title. And verse 3 reads, As I besought thee to abide at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in the faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some have, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. And verse 7 says, desiring to teach to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. And verse 19 says, holding faith in good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. And verse 20 says, of whom Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And here we see Paul talking to Timothy in 1 Timothy, the epistle of 1 Timothy. We see him giving him instructions to stay at Ephesus, so really he can correct, per se, the church or the teachings that the people were being taught. And we see that today in modern-day church. We see people teaching things that are not of the Bible and that are not of God. And here Paul is telling Timothy to stay there and abide there and to teach the unmitigated word of God, to teach the uncompromising word of God, and to make sure the people are not fooled into false doctrine. He's telling him to teach sound doctrine and establish truth, and that diminishes any error in Christianity, the foundation. He didn't want them to mess up the foundation, so he told him to stay at Ephesus and teach what he has been told to teach, teach the unmitigated word of God, and that's what we should be doing today, because some churches don't teach the sound doctrine. They don't teach sound doctrine, so when people go out into the world, they have to know sound doctrine. We cannot fight the devil, and we cannot come against the devil or the evil one if we don't have sound doctrine. If you don't know the word of God, you cannot defeat the devil. So here we see Paul telling Timothy to go in and make sure the people have sound doctrine. There'll be no compromising and no contamination in God's word. What has been set up, he wanted him to keep it going. And we see over in the 20th verse where he said, Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, he's saying that he had really actually like put them out personally of the church because of their teaching, because he said they want to teach the law, but they don't affirm it, meaning they don't even know what it's about, and they don't know how to go about teaching because they know nothing about it. So we see that in today's churches also. But I had a bishop in North Carolina, and she used to always tell us to know the word of God for yourself, because when the devil comes and when somebody tries to give you the word of God and you know it's the wrong thing, not to take that and to correct those who try to give you, you know, other things that the Bible does not say. So he wanted him to stay, and he wanted him to teach at Ephesus. He wanted him to give the people sound doctrine so God's word would not be distorted and the teachings would not be distorted. And that's what he was telling him to do, to make sure that God's people are fed, to make sure that the word stands, to make sure that it's not distorted. And we know that the word says, my people perish for lack of knowledge, and they do. Today, we see that today. We see people believing and teaching all manners of things, but it's not in the Bible. They take bits and pieces of the Bible and then make it their own. That's not what God would have us to do. He would have us to teach his word. His word stands and never changes. From Genesis to Revelation, it stays the same. So that's what Paul is telling Timothy, stay and make sure that the word is not distorted. Stay and make sure that the people have sound doctrine. Stay and make sure that they're not led astray. Because we know over in Acts, it says that there will be wolves in sheep clothing. And he was not talking about the world. He was talking about the people in the church. The leaders of the church will lead people astray because of the teachings. So that's what he's telling Timothy to do here. He's telling him to make sure that the word is uncompromised, to make sure people have sound doctrine, to make sure that God's word stands, and to make sure they understand. Back to you, Dr. McCall.
Thank you, Ms. Watson. We thank God for the word of God. We thank God because it's a sure word. It's a word that will bring change in our lives. We're talking about the living, the grace life, living by the grace of God. We can't even live this life in the way that God wants us to live this life, except we live it by the grace of God, by his mercy, by the word of God. But the word of God says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. So we thank God when we can look at the word of God, look at sound doctrine, being able to divide the truth, being able to know the truth. Because when we know the truth will make us free. But the word of God says, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So we thank God that we can live by sound doctrine. We don't have to error. We don't have to stray. We don't have to be let people lead us into unrighteousness, because as the woman of God has just said, that we can know it for ourselves, that we can read the word of God, and we need to know the word of God ourselves, because as she said, there are wolves in sheep clothing. Where are they? They're in the church. They're all around us. If you don't hear, if you do not know truth, if you're not able to rightly divide the word of truth, sometimes men and women, boys and girls, sometimes they make a mistake because they don't take their word to church with them. Sometimes they take what they hear for, it's because of the fact the preacher is preaching the word, and so if they don't know, if they have not studied the word, if they're not familiar with the word, then they are taken as being the truth. But you need to know the word of God for yourself. You need to know truth so that you can live and not die. So as the one of God said, we need the word of God. We need that solid foundation. How do we know whether or not we have a solid foundation? How do we know whether or not we're walking in truth? How do we know whether or not we're walking in the light or walking in darkness, except for we know truth and except for we know the word of God? So it is important that we stay and that we know sound doctrine. That sound doctrine is the Bible. It is the, as we say, it is a lamp, as the word of God says, not what I say. It's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. If we walk in darkness, we're going to stumble. If we don't see the light, we're going to stumble. If we don't walk in the light, we're going to fornicate. We're going to whoremonger. We're going to be whoremongers and liars and pretenders and everything else that is not according to God's word. We will live according to our own righteousness, but not according to the righteousness which is by faith. God is calling for people, for his people, to know truth, to know him, to know sound doctrine. And this is what we want you to know today. In order for you to live, you need to know the truth. You need to study the word of God. You need that concordance. You need that dictionary. You need a revelation from God. You need to be able to hear from God. You need to be able to know what he is saying to us in this day and this hour, because God is speaking to his people the word of God. Except we hear him. Except we hear his instruction, we're going to be led in the wrong direction, or we are not going to be able to follow truth and to know what he is saying, even this day and this hour. So I'm saying to you today, yes, we need to live by sound doctrine. And then when we look and we're walking now, keep walking with us, because we're going to talk about you, the law, lawfully, which is taken from 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, 8 through the 11th verse, which it reads, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for prejudiced persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I hope you read that with me, so that you will know that Dr. McCord is not lying to you. So therefore, it let us know that the law was not made for a righteous man. It wasn't made for those that are living according to truth, living according to God's righteousness. Because if you're living according to God's righteousness and living according to truth, then you won't be found being disobedient unto God. You're not going to be that person that's going to be profane. You're not going to be a murderer. You're not going to murder your father or mother or your mother. You're not going to be one that slay people. You're not one that a living a whoremonger life. You heard me read it. Also, it tells us that you're not going to be a man stealer. You're not going to be a liar, and you're not going to be a prejudiced person. So therefore, we need the Word of God, because many people do not read the Word of God because of the fact that they don't think that they need it, because of the fact that they're depending upon the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher to tell them truth. Yes, all of these fivefold ministries supposed to preach and supposed to teach the truth. But the Word of God says we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. And the way that we read it and know it, if we study the Word and we're walking in the Word, and that we are living according to God's righteousness and not our righteousness, not called a man righteousness, not some legalistic type doctrine that man has made, but we're living according to the sound Word that we were talking about earlier. So we know even now, we know what the Word of God is speaking to us on today, that we know that the truth will make us free from all of the things that we have talked about in living in the flesh. And all of these things are people that are living according to the flesh. When you are not satisfied, when you're lustful, when you're lusting after the flesh, when you are lusting after things that are not yours, when you are lusting after animals, when you lusting after people that are defiled, when you defile yourself, when you're lusting after the things of the world. Yes, we are in the world, but we are not supposed to be a part of their doings and the mindset of the world. So when we look at 1 Timothy 8 through 11, we see Paul. He opposed these things. He opposed those who promote legalism as a substitute for God's grace. By grace we are saved through faith, not of ourselves. It was only, come on, it was only the grace of God that we are saved, those that are saved. It's only the grace of God when he died upon the cross 2,000 years ago for my sin and for your sin, because the word of God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it was not because we were so perfect, we was not, because not because we were good, not because we were born good. We were born in sin, shaping iniquity, but yet God, he gave his life that you, that Mary McCoy, could have a right to the tree of life. So it's by his grace. It's not about a lot of legalism. And we substituted things, but we thank God that we can live according to God, which is by faith. And we are talking about legalism and substituting God's grace. For example, when we think about the Juvenizer, they talk about, you know, people being circumcised, circumcision. They talk about dietary restrictions were necessary for salvation. No, God didn't tell us that. We don't have to eat certain things in order to be saved. You know, the Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, the word of God said that we shall be saved. So it's not what we eat. Yet some things that you don't eat right, it can affect your health. But it wasn't depending upon your salvation. If you're going to live according to the word, you're going to do those things that the word of God speaks unto us in order to do. And we're going to be hearers of the word of God. Look, Paul, he objected. His objection was not to the law itself, but to those who had twisted and wrongly applied the law. And when we look at 1 Timothy 1:8, Paul had declared that the law is good if it is used correctly. I mean, those things, I thank God, because the law came from Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. When we look at some parts of the law, such as temporal sacrifice and circumcision, remind the Jewish people of their past and of their foreshadowing future events. When they did the animal sacrifice, which symbolized Jesus dying on the cross as one for all the sacrifices for sin. And then when we look at circumcision, it was a physical reminder that the Israelites were set apart. They were set apart to do what? They were set apart to serve God. And also, it also paints a picture. It also points us to the time when God would change the heart of all those who trust in him. And that's something that we can feel confident in, because that is what God did for all of us. He changed our heart. We were mean when we were unforgiving, unmerciful, when we were in sin, when we were in our transgression, then God died for us. And with this, with the word of God, by his grace and by his mercy and by truth and by those believers being able to trust in him, it will change their heart, and also it will cause them their heart to be made clean and whole. And this was both for the Jews as it was for the Gentiles. And then when we look at the parts of the law, it dealt with enduring moral issues such as lying and adultery, which we already talked about, covetousness, and these commands They address the condition. Listen, the condition of the heart. Man, how deceitful and it is also wicked. I mean, it is deceitful and desperately wicked. And Jesus said that they could summarize all of this in two commandments. We're coming down to a closing here, that we love God completely and we love others as we love ourselves. And that's one of the things that we have to really kind of look at and really look at, not kind of look at, but look at, that we can love God completely, love him with all our heart, our mind, our soul, and our spirit. And also that we can love others. You know, God loved us. He loved the unlovable. He loved those people that mistreated him. He loved those people that spat in his face, or put a sword and pierced him in his side. He loved them. He paid a price for them. He said, God forgive them, for they know not what they do. So here we see that we have to love God completely. And we love God, we can love one another. And if we love God, we love others. God wants us to love others as we love ourselves. You know, we forgive ourselves for a lot of things. I hope you do. But we also need to forgive others for the things that they do as well. We're getting ready to walk on a little bit further, and we're going to go to live in God's grace. And that is coming from 1 Timothy, the first chapter, 12 through 18. We would like to welcome Pastor Lewis Malone to the Breakthrough broadcast. Pastor Malone.
Grace and peace to you all this evening. Thank God that we are here by his grace, that we are here amongst the living, and we are being heard this evening on this broadcast. I'd like to thank Dr. McCoy and Ms. Ellen Hooper, and to the broadcast listener this evening for being here listening this evening. And it's truly a blessing to be heard, and it's coming from myself and not a recording that is coming through with you. I'm able to be here by God's grace to give you the word this evening. And we are going to read from 1 Timothy, starting at the 12th verse. And it reads, "As I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious. But I attained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to live to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. And church, say amen. The topic is living in God's grace. Here, Paul talks about, first thing, he thanks Jesus Christ, our Lord. He emphasized on the Lordship of Christ, and that he counted Paul faithful, putting him into the ministry. Now, the idea of ministry is mostly misunderstood today. For we have to know that all believers are in the ministry. That's when You know, it don't, you don't have to be per se on a certain board or a certain program, which they call a ministry. You know, all believers in Christ are in the ministry, and not one of us is out of the ministry if we are called a son of a child of God. And Paul, he was using this word ministry and the same word for a deacon. And every believer is a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to know that. And Paul even called rulers ministers. He called them ministers of God. And, you know, we say that we voted for a certain person to be put in office, but sometimes God will overrule that and put who he want to put in office. And the rulers are supposed to function as ministers of God. And Paul here was, he was grateful to God that he put him into the service as a missionary. And when we, as believers, we should have the same service to perform to the Lord. We should also be grateful to him that he chosen us. Notice that he said that he put me into the ministry, meaning that he put him there. It wasn't that you did yourself, except for open up your heart when he came to you. And Paul was so amazed by this that he thought about in his past life. He said, you know, you put me in this ministry, and I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious, but he still attained mercy. Why? Because of he did it ignorantly. He did not know. It was because of his unbelief that he did these things. And see, one thing about our God, his grace is so good and so wonderful that he will look beyond our fault and still see to us. He know what we need. He sees to all our needs. And Paul, he looked at himself, and we have things that we have to look back to ourselves before we came into this ministry. Think about what we were. And, you know, unfortunately, some of us are still living in some of the same things. Unfortunately, you know, I'm not saying that everything, but we all going to continue to have some things, okay? But we had to look at beyond all those things. When we look back over our life and what we have done, we still attain mercy. God don't give us what we deserve, because if he's given us what we deserve, we've been dead a long time ago. Thank God that for his grace and his mercy. Amen. And Paul, you know, I'm like Paul, you know, when I think about when God called me to the ministry. And I'm sitting here, me? Especially you talking about delivering his word. I'm looking at myself. You know, I knew what I was up to. I knew what I was doing. And it wasn't so much as being ignorant, it was just being young and being foolish. And a lot of times that's what we do. We're too young and foolish to realize and recognize God's grace, that it is him that allowing us to be here. It's not anything that we're doing of our own. It is purely his grace and his mercy that got us to the point that we are today. Because if it was up to us, we would be dead and gone. We would have did it. We can't see the danger ahead of us, but he can. He go before us, and he cleared a way for us. And we have to thank him every day for that, because he is rich in mercy. And you have to use a bit of that. He don't use a lot of that mercy in my lifetime. I don't know about anybody else. But, you know, Paul said because it was ignorantly did these things, it was because of his unbelief. And yeah, I think all of us was there before Christ came into our life. Every one of us was ignorant and unbelieving in the word until Christ came into us. And Paul later says that, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said that he was saved by the grace of God, who brought him to the place of faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. We have to know that that God brought us to this point. And again, that the things that will be manifest in the life of each and every one of us, the things that's in Christ Jesus. And once we come into the faith, these things will manifest when we are saved. You know, I remember the song that says, the things I used to do, I don't do anymore. The place I used to go, and they talk about the look at my hands, they're brand new. Look at my feet, they're brand new. We're talking about the changing in your life. When you got saved and received salvation, that is a change. Those things that you used to do, you don't do no more. And we have to know it's by God's grace that did that, and it brought us, and he had exceedingly abundant amount of grace. Think about that. To bring us to this point, to our point, into the faith, into the ministry. And he said this, and notice what he said, Paul said, this is a faithful saint, worthy of all exception, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul laid it out there. If he can save me, he can save you. He said, because I am chief. You know, chief is always the head. We're the head of sinners, the top dog, the one that you can't get no worse. You can't be a bigger sinner than him. And we have to know that any time that you go to feeling like you cannot be saved, just look to Paul, and Paul will tell you that this is a faithful stand, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ came in the world to save sinners. And Paul says that he's been saved. The Lord Jesus came to save sinners, and if you say, now mind, like I say, if you say that you can't be saved, know that you're wrong, all right? And he said, how be it for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to those, for to them which shall hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. How be it for this cause I obtain mercy? You see, you needed mercy in order to become a minister and to be in the ministry. We all, we have to attain that mercy in order for us to come into the ministry. We have to, because we don't want what we deserve. We want that. We want what I want to call amnesty for our foolishness. We want a gift. We say, hey, look over there. Could you look over that for me and bring me on in? And he said that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul said that he was not only a preacher of the gospel, but he was to be an example of the gospel. See, when we go out here and we talking to people about the gospel, our lives should reflect, because it was his business, God's grace, that brought us this far. If God's grace is going to carry us on, our lives shall be an example of God's grace, knowing how good he is and knowing that he did this out of his love for us. He brought us to this point. He brought us through this, out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And this thing got so good to Paul that he had to go into his doxology. And he said that now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And you know, Paul just couldn't go no further without going into the King eternal. He is Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Think about it. So many people said Paul did not preach that Jesus was God. Well, he said right here, he said, to the only wise God, right? So that tells us, he's telling us that God, the Lord Jesus, is God. And Paul has considered him to be God and manifested in the flesh. Here, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is who Paul was talking about. That the grace and mercy and the love and the faith is within him. And then Paul later went into, he charged Timothy. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. Now, those letters to Timothy was a practical letter to the local church and Timothy's responsibilities in the church. But several things shows that it was a special relationship that exists between Paul and Timothy. And Paul personally charged Timothy, this young man in the ministry, and he was Paul's spiritual son. Paul led Timothy to Christ. And when we lead someone to Christ, and you know they tend to take you on as their child in the ministry, because you brought them to the ministry. And he said that according to the prophecies which went before on thee, Paul had a real spiritual discernment, and evidently God had directed him to take Timothy along with him. You know, God has his way of doing things, and allow him to have the position which he held in the early church. Now, that and it also that he said that thou may by them manifest by the prophecies, by you might have war a good warfare, that you ought to fight a good fight, unless your heart is in it. You know, when this Christian race, our heart got to be in it. We have a made up mind. We have to be sold out, or as the song says, we have to be sold out. And God's grace has allowed us to, every day that night we lay down and we get up in the morning, it's God's grace that woke us up. It was God's grace that started us on our way. It's God's grace that allowed us to go out and to be a light in this darkened world, and to speak the gospel to the lost, the ones that don't know him. It's God's mercy and his grace that allowed us to go day to day and just be a blessing to someone else. And we should always give him thanks, give him glory, and give him honor, because he is truly worthy. And we should always just enjoy life and live in God's grace that he has bestowed upon us. Amen. And back to you, Dr. McCoy.
We would like to thank God for him being God and God all by himself. We would like to thank God for the word of God on today. We shall know the truth. The truth will make us free. We thank God for our topic today, coming from 1 Timothy, 1st chapter, 1 through the 20th verse. We thank God for being a almighty God, one that has all power in his hand. Yes, we thank God for our central truth. Sound doctrine is the foundation for living a balanced life. And we also, our subtopic today was Live by Sound Doctrine, which came from Miss Helen Watson. Yours truly talked about Use the Law Lawfully, and Pastor Lewis Malone told us about Live in God's Grace. We want you to read 1 Timothy, maybe 1 and 2 Timothy, so that you can be able to rightly divide the word of truth. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. We're going to invite you again to come and be full with us. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you, God, for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. God, that word have we hid in our heart, that we would not sin against thee. Lord, God, have your way today. We thank you for the sound word that came forth. We thank you, God, for the men and women of God that was able to rightly divide the word of truth. We thank you, God, for your grace towards all men. Thank you for your grace towards people, God, in the name of Jesus, that are out of the will of God. God, we pray, God, your grace for those that are in the will of God, that, God, that we will continually, and, God, that we will live a life for you, God, that is pleasing unto you. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I pray for all of those, Lord God, that are not saved. Lord, you said that we confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. You said that we shall be saved. I pray, God, that salvation, Lord God, will be in the heart and salvation will be in the mind of those that are not saved, those that are far off, not those, God, that have been put it off. I pray, God, that they will say yes to your will and yes to your way. Lord, we just thank you, God, even right now. We ask you, God, to look upon those that have infirmities in their body. We pray healing right now from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. And for this we will bless and praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We want you to tune in on next Saturday at this time to the Breakthrough broadcast. We again will love to have you to join in, to hear the word of God, to hear truth been divided, to hear the word of God as it come forth from the word of God. And we want you to know that your way can be changed if you accept God as your personal Savior, if you ask him to come in your life, if you begin to read and study the word of God, you begin to pray as the word of God said, because he said, man should pray always and not the thing. This, we would like to thank Pastor Lewis Malone, this Helen Hooper, and this has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. Join us on next week as we again rightly divide the word of truth through the break.